Please turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 16. Now the meetings are continuing. I hardly need to tell you through the week, 8 o'clock each night. And again on Lord's Day evening at 7:30. And tomorrow evening, for those who were expressed an interest to know when it was, tomorrow evening, that would be Friday evening at 8 o'clock, my brother Murray and I purpose to tell how God saved us. So you're cordially invited to come back again. Nice to see you here. Better to see you back. Now, Luke chapter 16. And just read with me at verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. Very familiar passage, verse 35. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, this is the Lord Jesus, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, this man would not be dissuaded. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood. Tremendous truth. Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. When he had come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Now, 2 Corinthians, for a final reading, 2 Corinthians, if you don't want to know where that is, it's just the book after 1 Corinthians, in chapter 4. We'll give you time to find it. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that is all we're going to read, and we trust that God will bless the passages for our consideration of the gospel this evening. I would simply like to look at the truth of blindness, spiritual blindness. And before I look at the subject and really make a parallel to blindness in the natural sense, let me say this. I don't think there are more heroic people today than individuals that have learned to live with and cope with blindness. And yet, regardless of all their successes and their endeavors, it is still a tragic condition. Man was not made to live in the dark. He was made to live in the light. And so I want to look at something tonight that is even more devastating than the physical sense of blindness. I want to look at what we call spiritual blindness. And by that I don't mean they are people that can't look at Bibles and see the words that are written. I simply want to look at the truth that their minds are blinded, that they cannot comprehend the great truths that are found in this book, the Bible. They are dark to the things that God sets before us through the Scriptures. That's what I want to look at tonight, blindness. You know, when I look at the passages, I want to look at it, first of all, as a subject in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3, where it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. So I want to look at blindness when it comes to relevant to man's condition. And now I have time to look at the other two passages for our consideration. I want to look at the truth also of a man in Luke's Gospel chapter 18, and I realize it is a natural deliverance from the real impediment of blindness, but it has a spiritual parallel. A man that received his sight in time. And then I want to look for a few moments in Luke chapter 16. There's an expression there that just seemed to jump out at me today. You know what it was? And in hell, he lifted up his eyes and seeth. And seeth. Can I say this? If individuals are insensitive or dark to the great truth of salvation, in time, there is a time when it will become very clear to them when it is too late. A man in hell that seeth. When I think of that verse, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. You know, I used to think that that was sort of like the way that Satan, he is the god of this age, the god of this world, that literally keeps men duped and dumbfounded to spiritual things. But I used to think it was sort of like, I don't know if you've ever seen what they call trotters or pacers, but sometimes they get those horses and they take them for a little exercise run. And they use, where we are on the island, there's not a lot of heavy traffic, so they actually take them up the sides of the roads. And it's nothing to see one of these horses on the little carts that they pull going up behind them. But you know something? They put these things on the sides of their eyes. They are blinkers or blinders. I'm not sure exactly what they're called. But you know what they're for? They are to keep that horse occupied only with what the man driving it wants it to see. They are to cut out anything else that might distract it or concern it around it. And so they put these blinders or blinkers on it. I used to think that's what that verse meant. That it was literally the thought that the devil was kind of working at keeping people blindfolded. But that's not what it says. Really, it is one act. It is one truth. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. It took place at one moment. Maybe I'll give you a simple illustration. A man that worked with me one time, I worked as a sheet metal job, and I was a foreman. There was one fellow there, a very nice chap, got very close to him. In fact, Paul got saved. I've heard from him since, different times. He's out in the Northwest Territories. But I used to talk to him, and he was very excited. They were expecting their first child, him and his wife, Barb. I remember when it came right down to the final days, and Paul was going to, you know, he got so nervous about the whole thing, he took the day off. And finally the baby came along. We didn't know all the circumstances that led up to that birth or things that had transpired. For example, we didn't know that 3 or 4 months before that his wife had contacted measles. We knew nothing about that. He hadn't told us. We did know this. The word kind of sifted back to us before Paul got back to the job. He actually had to take 3 or 4 days off afterwards. He was allowed that time off. But when that little child came into the world, it came into the world blind. It came into the world in complete darkness. You know what the cause of that was? It was nothing the child had done. It was a result of the impediment that had affected the mother. Because of the condition of the mother, the child was born into that darkness naturally. You know, when it comes to the truth, half blinded, it's the thought that when the first man and woman sinned against God, every child that would come into this world would come into this world spiritually blind. Apart from the person of Christ and the incarnation, every individual, since these two individuals, has come into this world dark to spiritual truths. And apart from the dealings of God and the Word of God giving them light, they would live in darkness and die in darkness and spend eternity in outer darkness. Every soul in this meeting that has never responded to Christ, according to the Word of God, you're in spiritual darkness. Dark as to three things in particular. You are dark, first of all, as to your condition. People don't like to hear that. You know, it's sort of like we get our own impressions of what we look like. Especially if you start gaining weight. Now, a lot of the younger folks won't have experienced this yet, but you probably will. And you kind of convince yourself, well, what you normally do is, when it comes time to start thinking about a diet, you kind of convince yourself it's not really that bad. And you can kind of go before a mirror and hold up your head so that the chins don't show and pull in your stomach and keep your chest out. And, you know, you look at yourself and the angle that looks the best and you think, well, probably I'm not that bad off. You've kind of primped yourself for it. And a lot of times, we see what we want to see. We see what we want to look like. What we hope we look like. But then you're sitting in that chair, and you're just relaxing. You're not worried about your chins or your chest or your stomach. And some individual comes in and callously with one of those cruel Polaroids takes a shot of you. You look at that picture, you know what you feel like saying? That's not me. That's somebody else. Because the person in this picture definitely needs to go on a diet. The person in this picture is in bad shape. You know what that picture is showing us? It is not showing us what we want to think we look like. It is not showing us primped up and made to look as good as we can. It is showing us as to what we are. When it comes to the Word of God, it says this, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me how I stand before God. It is a light unto my path. It shows me where I'm going. And if I'm not going to let the Word of God tell me what I am as to my condition, I will be dark as to my condition. Now, there's a lot of people when it comes to salvation, and they're kind of like kids that get wrestling. Back when I was a little fellow, you used to, when you got wrestling with somebody, you kind of propped their arm up behind their back, and if you wanted them to give up, you said, say uncle. I don't know what they do today, probably something equally as cruel or ridiculous. And after a while, you know, when you're a little guy, you kind of strained, and it was something you didn't say. You just wouldn't say that. But finally, when the pressure was on enough, and you wanted to get out of it, and wanted to get the pain off, you finally said, uncle, uncle. Listen, you said it, but you didn't mean it. You just said it to get a kind of a relief. You just said it to kind of take off the pressure. You know, more often when individuals turn around and say, well, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm not fit for heaven, but I want to get saved. You know what really is taking place? It's like the person saying, uncle. They really don't mean it. They really don't believe it. If you knew what you were before God tonight, there would be no hesitation in your mind as to this truth. I need to be saved. And yet individuals primp themselves and they prop themselves up and they think, I'm not that bad. I remember a man coming to gospel meetings one time. Dear fellow, he's a very good friend of mine now, Ray Walsh. Ray came to those meetings, and I made a mistake during those meetings, brother. I used to get down and pray for him and tell God how Ray's condition was going. I would get on my knees and say, oh Lord, Ray is really troubled and he's come to the end of himself, wondering why he wasn't get saved. And I'd talk to him and say, oh, I know I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And different times he'd go home seemingly fairly desperate. And he went on like that through series after series of meetings. We don't need to tell God about the condition of the soul or how to save the soul. We need to cry to God to do it. I remember a phone call I got at 2:00 in the morning from a man that was distraught, in tears, no doubt you could tell from the other end, but there was a joy to his voice. It was Ray Walsh. You know what he said? Peter, I just got saved. I just got saved. I said, Ray, what happened? He said, Peter, tonight I found out something I never knew before. I said, what was that, Ray? He said, I found out I'm nothing but a poor, bankrupt sinner. He said, I just got down on my knees and I said, oh God, I just can't understand what I am. I can't identify with these people in the book that Christ died for. He said, oh God, I just want to know. I really want to face the truth as to what I am. You know the verse that he turned to? He'd never turned there before. As he flipped through his Bible, his hand came to a verse that he just stopped. Here was the verse. We're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. He said to me, he said, Peter, you know what I used to think? That going to meeting counted for something. That must count for something. Even being concerned as much as I am must count for something. And trying to act better than the people in the community must count for something. They were all my righteous acts, but I found out this. They were just filthy rags. They weren't fit to present before God. And he said, I just fell down on my face and said, oh God, I'm just a lost sinner, save me. You know what he appreciated that night? Christ died for the ungodly. Not till an individual recognizes this truth, I'm the ungodly, will he ever rejoice in this truth? Christ died for me. But men and women are blind to what they are. And this book will take away the blinders if you give it the price of being the truth. Maybe the meeting in the meeting tonight, if someone asked you, how are you doing? I don't mean how are you doing in a sense of how are you getting along work today. When it comes to the truth of how you presently stand before God, how are you doing? But if you're honest, you'd have to say this. According to this book, it's not good. It's not good. They're not only blind to their condition, they're blind to their course. Blindness to the fact where they are going. I'm sure you've heard the illustration, and it must be hypothetical because I can't see how it would be true, of a man that intended on killing himself. And riding a stallion, he purposed to ride it over the edge of a cliff. If it were true, I don't know who told the story at the end of it. And how that he took that horse and sank the spurs into it and ran for the end of the cliff. And just as he got near the end, it seemed a sure thing that horse and rider were going over. The horse veered off. So he came back again, determined he was going to destroy himself. And he raked that horse with the spurs again and headed for the end of the cliff. And once more that horse veered off, having a greater desire to live than he did in more sense. The last time he did something, you know what he did? He took off his jacket. He just took that jacket, flipped it over the head of that horse and tied the arms behind the back of its head. And holding that jacket in place, raked those spurs into that horse and gave it its full head and let it go. Do you know what happened? Sure you do. Horse and rider plummeted to their death. What made the difference? You know what made the difference? It didn't know where it was going. You know what makes the difference tonight? You know why you're not concerned? You know why you can leave a gospel meeting and go on with your life as if you've just attended some religious responsibility or obligation and almost and probably forget everything you've heard because you don't know where you're going. And if it ever dawned on you, if it ever sank into that soul of yours, the truth, listen to what the Word of God says. Listen to what the Bible says. And the rich man died. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes. Listen to what the Bible says. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Listen to what the Bible says. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into a lake of fire. The only reason tonight why you're not concerned to the point that you come to a full stop and say, I have got to get this salvation. I'm not fit as I am for heaven. The only reason why you don't know where you're going. And you know why? Listen to this verse. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. You're blind tonight. Not only blind as to their course, but blind as to the person of Christ. You know, when I think of this, I'm reminded of a man, D. Stevens, that attended meetings by a man called Moody, D.L. Moody. And As a matter of fact, his intention in going to those meetings was to disprove Moody's illustrations. Moody was a great illustrator. I kind of like illustrations myself. I'd be like a person with their hands tied behind their back if you couldn't let me illustrate. It's just the way I do things. Well, Moody was an illustrator. You know, as Moody went to those, preached at those meetings, he would tell some of the things, events that were taking place, refer to them. And this man, who was a newspaper publisher, who had been a reporter years before, turned around and decided, I'm going to go to those meetings, and when Moody comes out with one of his wild illustrations, I'm going to follow it up and disprove it and put it in the papers and renounce him for being a liar. That's why he went to the meetings. You know, it's happened. People have come to a meeting intent on opposing it, and God has spoken to them and delivered them. The man went to that meeting. As he sat in that meeting, D.L. Moody was preaching on the truth of individuals who are blinded by the God of this age. He brought out the truth of how that individuals were on the verge of gazing into something that would literally thrill their souls, and yet the condition of their souls shut it out from their view. That others around appreciated the great person and the provision of Christ to the point they were delighted with him. And when that other individuals heard his name mentioned, it meant nothing to them. And finally, D.L. Moody went to an illustration. He said, it reminds me of the story of these three little boys on a cold Christmas Eve standing outside of a toy store with a warm fire going inside and a tree decorated and all those presents that little children would love to have sitting there. And one little boy standing there by the window talking to the other two, all faces pressed up against the window. But the one little boy who was doing the talking actually began to cry, broke into tears. And he stepped back and he said this, it's just so wonderful, and it's so warm, and it's so real, that you just have to see it for yourself. And in his frustration, he just stood there and could do no more. You know why? The two other little boys were blind. For all they could do, maybe sensitive to a little bit of the warmth of it, maybe stand there near to it, but they couldn't enjoy it. They could see nothing in it. They could see nothing at all. And what literally produced oohs and ahs from this little boy and delighted them brought nothing from them. Isn't it amazing then the grace of God working in that man's experience? As that man sat and listened to that illustration, he remembered he had been the newspaper reporter that had written it. It had been his own story. And that night on his way home, he thought about like this, that I'm just like those two blind boys. I have a wife and I have a brother who can see beauties in Christ. He thrilled their soul. He's met their need, and I can see nothing. He was literally broken that night to his knees to cry, oh God, I'm dark. I can't see anything in Christ. And before that night was out, that man trusted Christ as his personal Savior. I don't know if he ever said those words, but he possibly could have said, my Redeemer, oh, what beauties in that lovely name appear. How does a person see? How does the man who is blind in his sins, blind to his condition, blind to his course, blind to the person of Christ, how does he see? Listen to this verse. That the light of the glorious gospel should shine in unto them. That's the great power of the Word of God. The Word of God that shows me where I stand. The Word of God that tells me where I'm going. But thank God, the same word tells me this, that Christ loved the poor sinner like me and gave himself for me at the place called Calvary. God's word is life. God's word is life. Maybe in your poor, darkened experience tonight, in your miserable, dark life, I know all about it, that's the way mine was. You think to yourself, if I just had a light, if I just could know, if I could just have relief about my sin and my sorrow, if I could get rid of this guilt, if I could have power to live without the corruption of all these vices, but I can't see anything. You know the answer to that? That the light of the glorious gospel, it's the Word of God. Nothing else matters on this platform but what goes forth from the truth of the Word of God. It is the light. You know what I think of that man in Luke chapter 18? Some amazing three things about him. Blind Bartimaeus. Number one, he knew what he wanted. He knew what he wanted. Hey, the Lord Jesus, do you ever wonder why the Lord Jesus says to a blind man, "What wouldst thou that I should do unto thee?" Isn't it obvious? Isn't it obvious? He wanted to hear him say what he needed. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God knows what you need. Thank God he's made a provision for it already. He doesn't have to go out tonight and do something. God has already met that need. God has made that provision. But you know what God wants to hear from you? God wants to hear you acknowledge that you have that need. And when that man just simply acknowledged this, "I'm blind. I'm blind." I remember this. There was nothing so dark the night just before God saved me. Now, all those verses I heard, I just realized I can't see a thing in them. And then that moment after I trusted Christ, you know what I said? I see it now. Where I was blind, now I see. How did I see? The Word of God. The light of the glorious gospel. Not only did he know what he wanted. Do you know what you want tonight? Do you know tonight what you really need? Is it light? Or would you kind of, you in that same circumstance, say, "Well, it'd be nice to have a white cane to get around a little easier. Or this little cup that I use for begging, like to get it filled. Or the few things that a beggar enjoys as he sits by the roadside in his wretched misery. Nice to get a little more of that." Or simply turn off and say this, "Oh God, I need light. Oh Lord, let me see this. I want to say something to others in this meeting quietly in your own heart." Yes, in this meeting tonight, quietly in your own experience, that if you cried to God, "Oh God, I'm dark and I can't see. Give me light." This man knew who to turn to. He turned to Christ. He turned to Christ. Christ is the light. More than that, he knew when to do it. Everybody else is saying, "Leave him alone. Don't bother." You know what this man says? "No, I'm going to do it right now. I need it right now." Can I tell you something? You need it right now. You can have it right now. God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. The man's eyes was opened. Opened to the person of Christ. Luke chapter 16. A man's eyes are opened. It's too late. Now he sees it all. Now he understands. But too late. God bless you.